Well, today's sermon is from Ephesians 6:6. And the title that I've given the sermon is From Your Heart. And there's a reason for that, so hopefully it'll become obvious as we move on. Page 1789 in the Pew Bible. A couple of the passages that are going to be on the screen will be in New King James Version or English Standard Version, so they're not all coming out of the New International Version, but it's the same scripture. It's just different wording a little bit. This one is in NIV. Today's text, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. And I think that's a theme throughout all the scripture is this whole concept of God really cares more about what's in our heart than he does about a lot of other stuff. David, the man after God's own heart, was honored by God because he had a heart that was willing to be broken and contrite when he'd sinned. When he stepped away from God, he would turn back to God. And God knew his heart, even though his actions didn't always seem to demonstrate good behavior. Murder, adultery, all those kind of things, you know. But he had a heart for God, and God knew that. And God knows our hearts, and he honors us for what's in our heart more so than our actions, although our actions and our words will follow from what's in our heart as well. We're still in the section about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And clearly, if you're an employee and you show up to work and the boss gives you a direction and it's like, well, I don't want to do that. You can be passive aggressive and not tell him you don't want to do it and just not do it. Or you can come right in his face and say, you don't know what you're talking about. I know more than you do. And sort. I've known a few people like that. Have some relatives. That they, you know, first day on the job, think they can fix everything that's a problem in an organization that's been there for years and years. And maybe they have some good input, but sometimes you kind of have to be careful and just submit to one another. And as you're submitting to others and demonstrating that you care about them and you care about the organization you're working for, you know, employer, employees, then you're going to have a better opportunity to speak things, like when you're at the state and things aren't perfect. They're not going to listen to you if all you ever do is complain and criticize. But if you do your work really well and then you say, well, you know, if a guy would try this, and they think, yeah, that might work. So there's ways to approach things, and just submitting to one another, even as bosses and employees have to communicate with one another, submission to one another, both ways, is important to make things work effectively. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. That was last week's verse. And I didn't zero in on that part about sincerity of heart very much. Talked more about obedience and serving. But sincerity of heart was in verse 5. And then today in verse 6. And next week it'll be in verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly. So there's clearly a theme here where the attitude of the heart is probably more important than anything else. Now, the attitude of the heart is going to help us make the right actions. But clearly that's something that's coming up through this whole section, today's verse, doing the will of God from your heart. So it's God's will that we give everything our best, wherever, whatever circumstances we're in, whatever situation we're in, giving it our best. Proverbs 27:19. I love the Proverbs when you start looking at, and there's a lot about the heart in Proverbs, but chapter 27, verse 19, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And you're going to know what people are like oftentimes just by how they live. And, you know, in the scripture that we're talking about, it's like not just when you're being watched. Not just when you're being evaluated or judged. As a school teacher, I knew a lot of teachers that had a really excellent lesson plan and a good lesson the day that the principal would come in and do their evaluation. because according to union contract, they had to tell them when they were coming to give the evaluation. They couldn't just pop in and check on him. They had at least one really good lesson for the year. They didn't really care about the rest of the year. It was more about, you know, I want to get a good evaluation. I appreciated the principals that would come in and pop in and check on things and give suggestions and opportunities so that we could really get to know each other so they could tell what was happening in the classroom on a daily basis. And there were teachers as well, lots and lots of teachers that were just excellent, where, you know, you knew that they were doing their best every single day. They came to work with joy, and they were thankful, and they had gratitude just for the kids and for each other. And it was fun to work with most of the teachers I worked with. But there were those that just were really good at skirting it and only doing well when they were being watched. If it was parent-teacher day, the parents would come in, and or grandparents or whatever happened to be the event, they would have something special for those days. Things would go really well those days. Oftentimes not the rest of the time. So Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7, it's kind of an interesting little section. Do not eat the bread of a miser, stingy person, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's from New King James Version. He'll say, eat and drink to you, but his heart is not with you. And I think we know those people that it's like they're trying to look like they're willing to share, but you can kind of tell they're not really. And so we know their heart from knowing their life, from the life that's been reflected. And so probably not good to take everything that they offer you, because sometimes the offer is not sincere. I think it's Minnesota that you almost have to wait till it's been offered three times before you accept it. You know, you kind of have some social rules. It's like, would you like a cup of tea? Oh, no thanks. No, really, I'm going to make some tea for anybody that wants it. No thanks. I'm going to make it anyway. If you'd really like to have a cup of tea, oh, yeah, go ahead. You know, I don't want to put you out. So, and there's this kind of feeling, but there's an attitude of sometimes people offer something that they don't really want to share. And I've probably been guilty of that myself, offering something just trying to be nice, because I think I have to. But my heart's not in it. And there's a difference with that. You know, you tell people, yeah, whatever you want, I'm happy to be there for you. And sometimes people take you up on that. Well, we're going to be moving next week, or we're painting the barn, or, oh, well, let me check my schedule. Yeah, so, you know, if we're going to offer, we need to be available too, and that's kind of important. What's in the heart? Is your heart there to serve others? In Luke, Jesus is talking, he says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. That's also, you'll find that same concept in Matthew and other places in Scripture. It's like out of the overflow of the heart, things come out of our mouths. So when people are being nasty and rude and mean, it's probably a heart situation. When I'm being nasty and rude and mean, it's my heart that needs to be reevaluated and fixed, and I need to submit, turn back to God, and then have a heart of submission to others. And when we lose that, it doesn't matter how good we're trying to be on the outside and how hard we're trying to do the right thing. If we're doing it in our own strength without a proper heart attitude, it's not going to be lasting. There's going to be some time where something bubbles up and churns, and then boom, it's out there. So Lord, forgive us for those times and cleanse our hearts. Teach us how to be worthy of your calling. Going way back to Genesis, this was before the flood. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's Genesis 6:5. And it's like God knew how bad man was. Even with that, he had a plan for preserving mankind, and he had Noah build the ark. And then there was judgment over the whole earth. with this pandemic right now. I kind of wonder what's happening. Why is God allowing this pandemic to touch every nation in the world? It's like, isn't there one good nation somewhere? Weren't we supposed to be one nation under God? Aren't we supposed to be the special chosen people? And it's hitting us pretty hard. And I think that there, some of that is just the attitude of our heart as a nation. Nations have hearts too. Are we seeking God with our whole heart? Are we looking to do what's right? Or are we just trying to be the best and the most powerful and the first and the greatest? Psalm 119, if we want to know how to fix our heart, if our heart's not demonstrating the proper attitude, Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we're tempted, when we're prone to sin, we can probably find cures for that by turning back to God and hiding his word in our heart, knowing his word. So if it's there when we need it, it's like we treasure God's word. And in fact, Psalm 37, verse 4, take delight in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. If you want your heart's desires to be fulfilled, delight in God. Turn to him. And it's like, okay, so some people read this and they think, so like, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, right now the desires of their heart is to be the best and the biggest and have the most. And it's like, does that mean God's going to give me my Lamborghini and a raise at work and help me to become, you know, the most popular person in my social settings? And it's like, well, start with the first part. Take delight in the Lord. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you of himself. He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you're delighting in the Lord, your heart's desires are going to be shifting and changing. You might not still want that Lamborghini. He still might give it to you. He's a generous, good father. But if our desire is for comfort and ease and a painless life and whatever, it's like that might not happen if that's our desire, if it's just out of selfishness that we want that. But if we delight in the Lord, he's going to direct us. He'll guide us. And Proverbs 3, that's the section that talks about how he's going to guide us and whatnot. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. As we're hiding God's word in our heart, part of God's word says love and faithfulness is kind of important. Make it a part of you. Take off all the old stuff and put on love. Put on faithfulness. Never let it be away from you. Bind it around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So the concept of turning to God and submitting to one another, submitting to God, it's like, okay, if I've got love and faithfulness on the tablet of my heart, it's there, it's ready. It's always ready. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And Jesus gives this as the first command. Again, it's like, what's the first command in the scriptures anyway? It's love God. And everything else falls into place if we can figure that out. If my first love is something other than God, then out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth's going to speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the what's inside of me, it's going to come out in my actions. It's going to be reflected in my way of life. I love that Jesus doesn't just talk about it. I think, you know, my dad oftentimes would say, do as I say, not as I do, that kind of thing. Well, Jesus and even Paul at one point says, do as I do. Follow my example. And the example of God, he loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. And it's like, the heart of God was, I'm better than all of you, but I'm not going to take that as my badge, and I'm not going to force myself on anyone. I'm going to show myself as a servant. I'm going to lay my life down so that you can have yours. You can have eternal life. You don't have to perish, even though you may deserve it, because the heart of God was, he's reaching out to us. He's saying, come, anybody that's weary, anybody that's in need, come. That there's room at the cross. There's always room for you. John 15, Jesus is talking to the disciples as he's trying to prepare them for his going off into the judgment of the Jewish leaders and the Roman Empire. He's going to give himself over to death for them, and he's saying, here, let me leave this with you. This is kind of a new command. It's not really new, but this is it. Love each other as I have loved you. And then he points out, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then a couple weeks later, he laid his life down for them. And I think that's, you know, why would he do that? Well, because of his love for us. And that's love demonstrated. That's love shown to us in such a way that it's hard for us to say, well, that would be too hard to do. I don't want to sacrifice that much. It's like, okay, God sacrificed more and more. Gave his only son. The son lays his life down. The whole Godhead is saying, we want to make things right. This is a broken world. It needs some healing. It needs some fixing, some repair. So the three verses really that I'm kind of zeroing in on, verse 6 is today's text, but with Ephesians 6, 5 through 7, it talks about with sincerity of heart, doing the will of God from your heart, and serve wholeheartedly. And that's really the whole message for us, is if we can learn to give our hearts to God, then whatever our boss tells us to do, we can do that as unto the Lord. We can serve wholeheartedly because we have the right heart attitude. We're doing it not because we think that we deserve it. Laying our lives down, just setting aside what we think is important and allowing God to work in and through us. Thank you, Jesus.